Good morning. This is 105.1 WYYY. I'm John Murphy. Bob Bosold is here as well. And we are joined in the studio by Christine Hambuch Boyle, the Eau Claire School Board President and Vice President. Joe Luganville is here as well. And we're going to talk about referendum, and we got a lot of things to get to. I'm going to take care of a call here, first of all, and see if I wasn't sure if that was what was on your mind or if you had something else you wanted to bring up this morning.
No, hey, first of all, I just want to thank both of you for serving on the school board, because I think all of us either forget or we just don't know how much time and effort it takes to do that job. So regarding the operational referendums, those are a concern for me, and I know a lot of people, because it's just kind of like this ongoing, you know, keep the lights going with kind of no end in sight. And I know in the back of my mind there's got to be future capital referendums down the road. But so here's my question. And obviously, these referendums are popping up all around Eau Claire, all around Wisconsin. The bottom line is that the state legislators have to redo the formula. And my question is, have you been able to get our local senator and representative to sit down and listen to you and talk to you about concerns with the school system, or are they a little aloof on it? Because until we get them involved to really push a different funding agenda in Madison, this is just going to be a reoccurring issue and nightmare. That's my question. Thank you.
Joe and I looked at...
Oh, just a moment. I'm sorry, Chris. Go ahead.
Thank you for that question. Joe and I were looking at each other. I'll start and he'll probably add to it. We thought long ago, couple of years even, that as we look to fund our schools, it needs to be a two-pronged approach. We've worked very hard the last 2 years, and I've worked even longer because I was an educator, on fixing school funding in Wisconsin. And so we have put together one-on-ones with every legislator that we are constituents of. We've sat down with Terry Moulton. We've sat down with Kathleen Vineout. We've sat down with time set up with Warren Petrick. We did a 2.5-hour sit one-on-one with Kathy Bernier, and we're going to schedule Dana. Because we do think it's important for them to intricately understand our budget and the impact of school funding on their constituents. You can look at it as a big picture thing. That's our other prong of this approach. So we have a very local piece set up in our community, not the board, but people within our community that have gathered to help get the information out to our community. But the other prong that, and Joe's very much working on that, and I am too, but I also thought it would be important that we look at the big picture. So several months ago, we got Chippewa Valley Community Television involved to see if they would be willing to partner with us on doing a documentary on our road to referendum. And Steve Betchkel, Emmy Award-winning, took that on, and so did Chippewa Valley Community Television. I just read the script. It's amazing. And what it is, really, is what you said in the sense of school funding, the fact that it is so broken, and the fact that we need to fix it. We're writing resolutions. We're meeting with Altoona and Chippewa and Eau Claire, the superintendents, the presidents and vice presidents of the boards, to make a bigger voice from the Chippewa Valley relative to school funding and the fact that it is so broken. So we've got some draft resolutions that will be going to the Wisconsin Association of School Boards that talk about different ways you could fix this. One is the penny tax for kids. They do that in Iowa and other states in the country, where they take a penny for every dollar spent sales tax, and that goes to fund their schools. Kathleen Vineout has an alternative budget that really makes you look at how we are spending money. The money is there. It's just how it's being spent in our state. And the third a prong for that would be Tony Evers' fair funding formula, which we've talked about before. So we need to get all those things in a row so that we're working on one while we're trying to fund our schools.
Anything else to add, Joe?
And I would say, too, you know, they're hearing it from us as board members. They're hearing it from district officials and employees. It's also important for our local elected officials and from Madison to hear from citizens about these three different approaches that Chris mentioned. obviously, if we continue on this path, the burden is going to continue to shift to local districts. And that's when you see have districts and have not school districts, because some school districts simply cannot afford to pass referendums, and you have these rural communities that cannot support their local public schools. So this is really imperative that our legislators address this.
As we look at the meetings you had with the area legislators, do they associate this with the cost of schools? Is this a cost item for them, or is it a political issue for them as far as private schools, those kind of schools versus the public schools? What kind of a feeling do you get as far as their feelings about funding education, public school education?
Well, I think our experience has been that it's mixed depending on the knowledge they bring to the table to have that discussion. And certainly we try to sit with them and take both perspectives. And actually, I have a hard time even having two perspectives in the sense that we need to fix school funding, so how are we going to do it? You know, I'd jump right in and fix it. I have a suggestion with the caller who called in about becoming deeply understanding what's happened with school funding over the years. There's a book called Lessons from the Heartland. It's from Barbara J. Minor wrote it. She's an amazing writer, so it reads like a novel. But it takes us through the turbulent half century of public education in Milwaukee, which much of what's happening in the state was started in Milwaukee and continues to do that. I just reread it, and I would love to see if we couldn't have a citywide book study on this. So people bring this kind of knowledge to the conversation. Then you understand the whole voucher, the whole private, the whole charter. All of those things are woven in a very deep way in understanding what it is. So I just give that suggestion.
When we look at that, does Milwaukee... does it play too big a role? Because sometimes people have looked at that and said, does the rest of the state, Eau Claire included, pay for the sins of Milwaukee, perhaps? That they, you know, that we have to go through a lot of different things, and we're in the spot we're in because of the overfunding that needs to go into the problems that are Milwaukee.
Well, I look at it this way, is when we were appropriately funded, and granted, we were very accountable to our taxpayers, the public schools in Wisconsin were in it together. I mean, much of what we did was for each other. So when we had to give a little to help Milwaukee and to help what was happening in Milwaukee, I think that was okay. I mean, that's part of the common good. But when you start pitting districts against each other in the sense that there isn't funding, then you start to divide and start thinking that way. I just have a hard time doing that. They're embroiled down there. In the book, that it talks about, you know, way back in the 60s, my parents were from Milwaukee. I spent a lot of time down there. All that flooded back when I read that book and read the history of why we are where we are.
The pitting against each other, though, with regard to school districts, it's not happenstance. You know, I mean, this isn't just a strange coincidence. There's been a design behind this to make this happen. They want it this way.
Well, certainly, and I think that the revenue caps that were put in place in 1993 have really set up a system of inequity, because there are some school districts that were winners with what the revenue caps were put in. And you just look, like, you know, at a city like La Crosse, they have had hundreds of millions of dollars more to spend in their budget year to year than the school district of Eau Claire, just because of where they were locked in with revenue caps and where they were at with other referendums down the road. So certainly it is a very inequitable school system. And, you know, to Bob's question earlier, is it a political issue? I think in talking to some people, it has become one, but it shouldn't be. And, you know, in my mind, you see a pothole in the road, you fix it, you fill it. You fund your public schools. To me, it's a black and white issue. We don't have an option.
Unfortunate circumstances, and this was an eye-opener for me last week when we talked about this and I read a little bit of the information. Talk about paying for the sins of Milwaukee, it's different. We're actually paying for the sins of 1993. If you go back to 1993 and we base everything on that, well, it kind of depends on if somebody's having a good budget year or a bad budget year, you're beholden The Eau Claire School District is beholden to what was going on in that era, and it's kind of hard to pull yourself out of that.
What I've explained to people, 1993 in one sentence, penalized for being fiscally responsible.
Yeah, you did a good job in 1993, and now you're now held accountable. It's the classic example in private industry where you find your best sales representative out there, and you know what happens? Is they do a great job. They make so much income that this is how they're rewarded. You have to double that next month. You're going to have to work even harder. Well, how am I going to work harder to do all the, but that's where the penalties come in. Well, anyway, jump in here at 715-836-9299. That's the Wisconsin Credit Union Hotline. Chris Hambich-Boyle is on with us, and also we have Joe Luganbill from the Eau Claire School Board. We're going to talk about the referendum and what all figures into the referendum. Let's go to Rick in Chippewa Falls. Good morning, Rick.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I'm going to ask you guys the same question I asked my school board last week. How much do you guys have in cash reserves?
Well, you're talking about our working capital. We have just the percentage that our school district size is recommended to have. We use that amount, which we're at about $25 million. We use that amount in order to go out and borrow, because we don't always have the money to pay our bills because of how we're paid by the state and the federal government. So if we're given a certain percentage that we should have as a district our size, we're the eighth largest and serve 11,200 kiddos. Our budget is $130 million, so we're an economic driver as well in our community. So if we take the deficit we're talking about, it's 5 million plus, and work that working capital and pay it down, we don't have what we need in order to go out and borrow because of how we do our budget. And we would not have any money in there in 5 years, or probably less than that. So we don't have an exorbitant amount of money. I think that's a good question, and people should ask that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Rick. Yeah, you're right. It does look like a big figure, and people would say, well, why can't you just tap into that? And I guess the example would be, you can't afford to have a run on the bank. You got too many employees that are counting on this money. There's a virtual collapse that would happen if all of a sudden you didn't have enough capital, because the state when they do pay, they're a good pay, but they're a slow pay. It's 8:23. More coming up in just a moment on 105.1 WYYY. Phones are open here at 715-836-9299.
What's your opinion? Call 715-836-9299 and let us know. 105.1 WAYY.
Good morning. Good morning, folks. Thanks for being on. I have a statement and then a question. The first statement is that I think that there may be a misunderstanding of what an economic driver is. A school system would absolutely must have it. It's constitutionally mandated by our state constitution and all the rest of it, but it is a consumption. The Eau Claire schools, public school system, is a consumer, not an economic driver, in that it takes money that are earned by the taxpayers through the production of goods and services the marketplace has demanded, and then uses that money for a non-economic driving force, being the education of the K-12 students, so not, you know, generally non-labor force members of the labor force, generally non-spending consumers. And so to say that the school district, because $130 million is spent, is an economic driver, is a failure to understand that that's $130 million that would still have been spent. It would have been otherwise spent in the marketplace buying goods and services where there's a value added.
Not if you don't have those employees, it wouldn't.
Yes, it would, John. I mean, there's something you people need to understand, is that $130 million that is spent, it would be spent anyway, just somewhere else, with other employees. And in other companies, those are employees that have value added to goods and services. They are, in fact, economic drivers. Menards, Marcourt's, Target, Walmart, those are, in fact, economic drivers. A public entity like a public school system is not an economic driver. It is a consumption entity. I mean, this is economics 101, John. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second question, the question I have for you guys, is what happens if this doesn't pass? You've already added $3.5 million, I think, if I remember correctly, to the budget through the pay increases, the pay scale issue. So what happens if this doesn't pass?
Thank, Thanks, Brian, for the phone call. Let me just dig a little bit deeper into the economic driver piece. We look at it as supporting the local economy. The Eau Claire School District works with 610 businesses in the Chippewa Valley, and we spend approximately $21 million per year within the Chippewa Valley.
With those businesses.
With those businesses, and they're all local businesses. We're the second largest employer, 1,400 employees, 853 educators. Over 70% of our staff, I think it's even maybe as high as 75% of our staff, live in Eau Claire, pay taxes, and buy homes in the community. That's what I mean by an economic driver. And as far as your other question, can you say the second question again?
Let's see if Brian's still here. What are you going to do if it doesn't pass? Oh. I guess, yeah.
If I could add, too, to the economic driver piece first, the part that's maybe more difficult to grasp and maybe less tangible in terms of how we are an economic driver is looking at the product that we churn out every year. And the graduates that walk across the stage for North, for Memorial, for McKinley, you know, and look at what they do in this community, what they come out with, the knowledge that they've gained and with the experiences that they've had in the school district that are made available to all students, regardless of where their family's at in terms of income and where that student is born and what their zip code is. Look at that product and look at how that has driven our local economy just in the last few years, all ECASD grads.
Yeah, and that's less tangible to grab a hold of. And to some degree, I see where Brian's coming from regarding
Absolutely.
Consumption. That that you look at something, and I don't think your inference is that other corporations that he mentioned, that they're not economic drivers. Of course they are. They're economic drivers as well. But what you're trying to say is, do we not have a place at this table? Is the Eau Claire School District only consumers?
Exactly. And we presented to the chamber a bit ago. I just gave John the PowerPoint that we used to put our information together, in the sense that we should be sitting at the table, not just for the economic piece that we hold within the district, but also in the community, but also the connections to business and those some innovative things we're doing in the district to make those connections even stronger relative to the workforce.
Here's an interesting thing, that the same employees that work for the Eau Claire School District have to mingle with the same group of employees that work at these corporations. One of the reasons those employees work here, live here, stay here, grow their families here, is because of a good school system, isn't it? To answer Brian's point, no, I do not believe you would have those jobs. I do not believe you would have other corporations locating here, staying here, if you don't have a solid school system. I just don't think it would happen.
We recently, the Alliance, did a program about getting our swagger back in the Chippewa Valley. And they brought in young families, millennials, that have moved back. So they grew up here, went off and did their thing, and they're back here. And they each were on a panel, and each of them talked about what they looked at first in order to come back, and it was their public schools. One of them came back strictly because we have a public charter school, which is under the authorization of our school board, Montessori School. And given another place and time, they would have paid big bucks for their child to go. So I hear where Brian's coming from, but I think as a public school district, we have to be in the community and saying loud and clear that we do have a place at the table, and that we do impact the workforce. We impact everything that has to do with our community.
When we come back, let's try to break down the referendum itself and what exists there, because this is a little different than some of the other school districts have gone through. It's identical to what other school districts have gone through. When you start talking operating budgets and debt service and compensation for employees, that raises some eyebrows and perhaps some concerns. And you couple that with, you know, some people will say a facilities referendum is much easier. Although, I don't know, there's maybe some people that would disagree with that. They're having their own struggles in Chippewa Falls, for instance. It's 8:33. We got more coming up on 105.1 WYYY.
715-83.
Steve, just stand by just 1 second. Bob, I know you've got a question too, but we do have to follow up real quickly here on, because we didn't get to it there. What happens if the referendum doesn't pass? That's a valuable question.
Well, in one sentence, I would say we will not be able to meet the needs of our school system moving forward if we do not pass this referendum. To break it down, you know, what we're looking at in terms of what this referendum will help us in as a school system is basically maintaining what we have and then the ability to move forward and grow when capacity grows. So, you know, in terms of our technology infrastructure, making sure that we have network security, high-speed internet. In terms of our safety and security of our facilities, looking at our ADA compliance, making sure that we're updating several of our schools in that area, the fire alarms, safety and PA systems, updated doors on classrooms for when you have a lockdown in the school. Those are very important, and not all of our schools have those. In terms of maintaining our class size policy, we're currently not able to maintain our class size policy, which we have ranges set in board policy. We're not able to meet those because of our budgetary constraints. And then the big kahuna, I would say, is obviously with the new compensation plan, we need to have the ability as the 8th largest school district in the state to be competitive and to have the ability to retain high-quality staff. You know, we've been losing people to Altoona, to Chippewa, to Menominee, to across the border. That's not acceptable for a district our size. And then obviously the deferred building maintenance. We have immense needs in many, many of our buildings, everything from roofing to plumbing to some boilers. You know, when I look at just I have the maintenance project sheet and that we're looking through, and it's a lot of things that are very important. You know, sanitary sewer lines, gym air handler system, replacing vents, you know, heat recovery in the pools. This is stuff that it isn't frills, you know, and none of this is, in my opinion, a choice for us. And I think Chris would want to hit on that.
So, Joey, am I being too blunt by asking this? If this doesn't pass, will we lose staff members? Will we lose employees? Are we going to, or are we going to lose the ability to get new employees? Where does this really stand?
Well, if last year was any indication, you know, we had very high turnover last year. We had very high turnover the year before. We had some schools where they were turning over 10, 15 people. And that is not only detrimental to students' education, it's detrimental to the culture of that educational building. It's also a cost to us because we have to retrain these people. So I certainly would see that in our future.
One of the strengths of our district is the professional development, so we cost that out as well. When a teacher walks out after receiving the kind of professional development we do within our district, that's a huge cost.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to say, too, and Joe alluded to it, I started talking about if the referendum doesn't pass, we will continue down the road of non-choices. Up until 2011, we already cut $32 million out of our budget, and we were a conservative spending district to begin with. So you tell me, John, non-choice, do we pay for our staff, which we consider a cost of doing business, or do we put on a roof? That's, to me, a non-choice. We need both of them.
In terms of school district spending, do we not rank something like 247th up against 422 school districts? I might be off a number.
Very, very close. We rank 272nd
out
of 424.
Oh, wow.
And bear in mind, we're number 8 in terms of the state.
Wow.
So that's just a huge number in itself.
In terms of size of a school district,
And there's an update, too. It was 357 less than the state average of spending per pupil for Eau Claire.
Yeah.
Now it's above 400.
Okay.
We just got those figures as
All
well.
All right. Let's go to the phone. Steve, thanks for your patience. Go ahead. Go ahead, Steve. You with us there? Steve, hello. You with us? Hello. Okay. Well, call us back, Steve, if we lost you there. Let's go on to James here. Good morning, James.
Good morning, guys. I've had a couple different conversations with Joel over whether on social media or messaging him or whatnot.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate the fact that when I question things, you take that as a question, not a challenge or an accusation. So I appreciate that, Joel.
Absolutely.
no, I guess I've got two questions, I guess. You mentioned the first one, you mentioned retaining, being able to retain staff. And I know you've mentioned before on one of the things you threw out on social media, one of the things recently that you said was that you were excited about staff having more of a say in the compensation scale and package. And I'm wondering, like, one of my big concerns with what the board did last year or this year, I guess, I don't know what it technically would be, when we changed the compensation scale, was that when we talk about retaining people, we are paying more, we're paying that big buck for a teacher to come in and be like, wow, Eau Claire, we want to go there. You know, that's where I want to go get a job. And we don't know how those teachers are going to work out. Now, I think the majority of our teachers in Eau Claire are good. The ones I've seen, very, very few times have I seen someone that I've questioned.
Yeah.
However, just any profession, you look across the profession, and there's going to be people that work better than others. And so I'm worried that we went the opposite way that we maybe should have. Instead of saying, we're going to draw you in, and then now we're going to say, well, I know you're going to make more elsewhere, but please stay with us, as opposed to saying, you come here and you show us what you got, and we're going to take care of you. If you can show us that.
You're exactly right. And I think one of the things that we found that was lacking in our compensation system before the one that we just approved was that it really didn't address both of those areas. And I think that our new plan does address those in the sense where we're able to attract people because we are competitive with area school districts that are obviously smaller than us, but right nearby. And then the other piece is that we have built-in steps based on longevity and also based on, obviously, if people pursue higher education and pursue national board certification. So we're in that way also incentivizing staying in this school district and investing in becoming a better educator and better at your craft. And the piece about, in terms of having staff having a bigger voice, what we really did to aid us in the process was we had what we called compensation committees from all of our different employee groups, and board members sat in on those meetings. Folks from HR were at those meetings. The business department was at those meetings. And what we really sought to do was we had a comparative analysis done and a study with private and public sector groups all across the region and elsewhere, and really looking at what can we do with these various positions, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a janitor, whether it's food service or a paraprofessional, to make sure that it is competitive with the market. And that was a really nice process to have employees there. Obviously, with the new plan, not every employee is necessarily as happy as they could be, but I think that everyone feels in the system right now that they were listened to and that they were a part of the process.
Just a moment. We need to take a quick break. Then we're going to come back with more in a moment here on 105.1 WYYY. Bob, hang in there. We'll get to your call in just a moment here, right after this. John and Bob this morning on 105.1 WYYY, and we're going to get to Bob Bosold as well in just a moment. But I want to get Bob on the phone, first of all, here on the Wisconsin Credit Union Hotline. Go ahead, Bob.
Oh, good morning. I haven't been listening to the whole show, so I have to, I'm in negligence there. But what I want to comment on is that I understand there are budget issues, but what about the people on fixed incomes? We need to care about those people as well. I say no to any referendum the school board comes up with, and let me explain why. The real problem here is with the budget shortages centered around Governor Walker and Republicans gutting money that would have gone to public schools, and it has been diverted to private schools and economic development. I understand your challenges. However, if the public wants better schools and lower property taxes, then they need to vote for the right representatives. And why are you, as a school board, not getting this message out? Thank you. I'll take your answer off the air.
I appreciate your call. And let me say we're getting the word out there. I mean, I have this conversation, and what you just said as far as the broken system we have for our public schools, certainly your premise is well taken. And so I often tell people that, and I've had many people say, I can't vote for the referendum, I'm on a fixed income. I can't pay anything else out, you know, and I get that. So what I tell them is that if you can't vote for the referendum, then help us change school funding in Wisconsin. I sit down with them and talk to them about the three different ways we've come up with that our legislators could use to fix school funding in Wisconsin. And then you're still a voice for your public schools because, again, this is a non-choice. So I would just say that.
All right, Bob.
I guess that's kind of what I was alluding to in my question earlier about was it cost or was it politics? And I guess the caller kind of asked the question, but in a just different way. But, Chris, you were talking about Milwaukee earlier, and you coming from Milwaukee, some of the people in Milwaukee say, while that is the, you know, the benchmark school district, the biggest, obviously, in Wisconsin, and it's not performing, I guess is the best way to say it. What about, from being on the school board, being from Milwaukee, the proposal down there is to break the Milwaukee school district up into, I don't know how many numbers, not every neighborhood, but, you know, you've got so many different publics down there that are so different that it's not, they're having trouble with a one-size-fits-all district. How much do you think they could maybe make the school districts with an S in Milwaukee better by allowing them to focus more on the particular challenges that a certain area, this north side, faces versus maybe the west side, you know, versus one size fits all?
Bob, you have to read Barbara Miner's book because it does take you through the history of that. Let me say this, is Milwaukee is unique unto itself in the sense of how it's represented in our state and nationally. And it's had just a very hard time on fixing things within its city. So, for example, if you go back to the 60s and the fact that they had to desegregate their schools, they worked really hard on that, and they had a way of doing it, and they had busing, and things were kind of getting there when leadership changes. So that's when they started to bring in the piece about, well, we want our African American schools. They did some great stuff with having individual schools that focused on that. The major population in the school was African American. They did a certain percentage of the teachers were African American. And then things changed, and then they now are saying neighborhood schools. And the premise behind that I see is, again, that's going to go back to segregation, which they've slowly went back to segregated schools. So it's imperative that the people of Wisconsin, in order to understand Milwaukee, know that big picture and what that pathway was. And then I sit and read that and think, public schools often has remained a pawn within a political system that has it built in that it's a constitutional right to have a good quality public school system, but we're a pawn in how it's funded or in who's in office. So I don't want to get political here at all, but your question kind of implies that, and we do. We have to deal with that all the time. We only have a two-year biennium budget.
Is it not a struggle that school districts have to the other Bob, the caller Bob's point, and that being you're kind of in a catch-22 from the standpoint of the state tells you, sorry, no more money, can't do that. And then when you raise your hand and said, hey, we'll have the biggest bake sale there is out there, we'll raise our own money, and then they step in and say, well, to a limit, you can only do so much of that. So I'm gonna broach this by saying, if it were up to either one of you, would you prefer local referendums, because that has been suggested that somehow brings local control back to local school districts, that we fund ourselves, or would you prefer state aid, or does it still need to be a combination of both?
Well, I certainly think it's an all-of-the-above solution.
Mm-hmm.
I think that local investment is still something that is going to be necessary. Now, do I like the system of referendums that basically shifts the entire burden to property taxpayers in your given community? No, I don't like that system, and I don't think most voters do. Even the voters that will support the referendum, I don't think most board members do. But I really think it takes an all-of-the-above. When you look at fixing the funding formula. I think that we need to address Tony Evers' fair funding proposal. I think we need to look at the revenue caps and go back to the drawing board on that. Because obviously what is going on here in Wisconsin is not working in terms of public education. And what do you do when something's not working? You fix it. And better yet, you look to other states in the nation. What are they doing that might be a better idea? You know, like in Iowa, where they have obviously state revenue, but they also have the penny tax that Chris alluded to, penny per dollar sales tax, and that money is earmarked for public education. If we did something like that in Wisconsin, it was estimated that that alone would generate $850 million. And I don't know a lot of people who would rally against a penny sales tax increase. I know some, and I know people who are in office who have pledged to never increase taxes, no matter how small. But, you know, I think the bottom line is there are tools in our shed. There are opportunities. There are various legislators who have proposed alternatives. There are options to increase revenue at moderate amounts. I think at the end of the day, what we need to do is have all of our tools in the shed and not have the burden just on one group of people, in this case, the property taxpayers. We need to share that.
The referendum question itself, where are we at on the wording? When do we get that finalized, and where's that all at?
It's done.
It's done?
Yep.
Okay.
It's done.
And
it's on our website.
And you're okay. And give me the website again.
Just go to the ecasd.us.
Right.
And right on the top bar, it says referendum. Click on it, and you've got your information. I was going to add this as far as Joe's response and your question, John, mm-hmm. is you can see that if we don't pass the referendum, how we could spend down our working capital, or we would drastically cut other things in the district. I mean, it would be a given. We wouldn't have a choice. But I really think that people, when they look at that, that they we're not going to just do a cutting list and do that, because if we don't pass this referendum, it'll be devastating to our school district.
Well, there are some that would say maybe that's exactly what needs to happen. You know, I mean, there are some mm-hmm. that would say, hey, cut 200 employees. Sorry. Mm-hmm. See what it looks like. Take a good look. This is what you get. This is what you get. Sometimes you got to make the drastic moves mm-hmm. until the people wake up and go, wow, that actually did have some impact. They weren't kidding, were they?
I would say, too, you know, there is kind of, I think it's sometimes the false narrative out there that our school district has never had to go without, that we just continue to spend what we need to spend and do what we need to do. But, you know, since 93, we have cut over $30 million from our budget. And those are employees that we've cut. Those are entire departments that we've cut. Those are programs for kids we've cut, field trips, orchestra in elementary school, Spanish, and you know, various programs that we've cut.
You know, too, I have asked every legislator that we've met with, and every legislator I can possibly have a conversation with, including Russ Feingold, and I asked them, if we spend down our working capital and we're bankrupt, what would happen to the Eau Claire School District? And not one legislator can give me that answer.
All right.
And that's discerning to me.
I want to get to a couple of calls before we leave the program this morning. Good morning. You're on with Chris Boyle and also Joe Luganville from the Eau Claire School District. Go ahead, Daisy.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
First
morning.
Of all, I want to thank you for the hard work that you're doing. This is all into this divide and conquer strategy. I've been studying a lot about what's going on and you know, the aim to demolish our public schools and replace them with private, for-profit, voucher schools. And it's happening all over our country. And I just want to commend you for bringing information to the public. I know you can't be political, but I can. And I've been just really saddened by this, because people who are on fixed incomes have to make a choice whether to eat or fund something that benefits our society. And if we didn't have our public schools, people need to go back and look at our history and what happened to the devastation of the middle class, what happened to child labor. I mean, there are such significant things and purposes for public schools in our society and the great things that they do. And I want to commend you and thank you so much for coming on the radio and discussing this with the public, because the public is not getting the information, and the only place they're going to get it, I guess, is on WAYY.
Oh, thank you, Daisy. I appreciate that. I think there are some other sources out there, but thank you. I appreciate that. Let's go with Karen. We got about a minute or so to go, but go ahead.
You were saying that you kind of consulted with the corporations a little bit on what they want. To me, that is kind of disturbing that we would take kids and not educate them. I used to hear learning for the sake of learning. I don't know that I agree with that, because it's what you learn that forms you in a sense. But I would like to see them not be geared to go into a certain corporation. I mean, that disturbs me, even the idea of it. Just have.
I'm not exactly sure where that reference is coming from, because I don't think either one of these two said.
We will go to the corporations to find out what they kind of want to hire, and we do that outreach too, early in the program. And so I'm wondering what that outreach is.
Oh.
I seek. They are doing robots.
Go ahead, Joe. I just want to make sure you get your response in before we run out of time. Thanks, Karen, for your point.
Well, in terms of us meeting the needs as a school system, we obviously have to meet the needs of our community. And, you know, one piece, I wouldn't frame it necessarily in the way that the caller framed it, but we do have great partnerships with the private sector, and we're focused on filling that skills gap, making sure that students are prepared for post-secondary, whatever that holds, college or the workforce or the military.
There you go. Thank you, Joel and Chris. We appreciate it. We'll post this for you at WYYYradio.com. It's 9 o'clock. Luke and the Captain coming up next.